I'm going to talk to you about something I've already spoken about. In fact, I don't know if there's any conference that I've ever given or any one of these shows that I've ever done where I haven't spoken of it, but it bears repeating because it's essential to the Christian existence, and that is love. I have talked about love often, and the reason I've talked about love so often, and I speak about it, and I will always speak about love, is because for us, for we who call ourselves Christians, love became flesh. Divine love became incarnate, and divine love is given to us as our sacred food for life itself. Now, love is one of those words that is usually misunderstood. Most societies have at least three different words for love. You know, you have all different kinds of love. But in English, we have one, L-O-V-E, and it's usually a word that most people misuse. They misuse sometimes love for lust or for affection or for brotherly or for, you know, intimacy. They use love for food. Can you believe that? People actually love food. First of all, you have to love only that which can love you back. Now, that I've already spoken about. But we need to understand exactly what love is. So many people will tell you that love is sharing. Oh, no, no, no. I know a lot of atheists that share. That's not really love. Not love of God. And, you know, they may share because they have to. I mean, I was a kid. My mother used to, I would cut the cookie in half, and then my sister would pick the half she wanted. I always thought that was a little unfair, but, you know, I was sharing. Do I say I was sharing out of love? I was sharing because I had to. My mother taught me how to share. I was given a nickel to put in the collection basket when I was a little child, and oh, I really wanted to hold on to that nickel so tightly because it would buy me three cookies on Monday. But I still put it in. I had to. And so there are those who are shamed or embarrassed into giving. So generosity, sharing, that's not necessarily a definition of love. Caring. Yeah, I guess so. Caring can be an effect of love, no doubt about it. Sharing can be an effect of love, too. Giving. That's true. That can be an effect of love. Notice this. None of these things are love. What they're doing is they're showing us what love does, what it can do if it's true love. But what is it? What is love? Now, please don't anybody ever say love is never having to say you're sorry. You remember that stupid movie? And love is never having to say, that's such garbage. Come on, you know better than that. Those of you who love are always apologizing for something. And we always apologize, especially to the people we love, because we just don't want to offend them. And so, what is it? What is love? Now, I'm going to give you the perfect definition. Now, this is the perfect definition. But in order to really give you the perfect definition, I need to make certain that all of us understand what a definition of it is. A definition is this: to describe or explain a word without using said word in its explanation. That means I can't say a definition is to define something. I'd say a definition is explaining what that particular word means to a particular person or a group or a society or a situation. Now, I'm going to give you such a perfect definition that I'm not even going to use words. I'm not going to use words. Now, you're probably thinking, the shadow priest has finally gone nuts, because you're thinking, how can I have a definition without using a word? Wasn't that part of the definition? Well, yes and no. I believe that love is wordless. You cannot say it. Because even when we're in prayer, sometimes when we love and we're speaking to God about love, the word becomes almost meaningless. And the Spirit takes over, and all of a sudden there's just this knowing love in prayer. But how to define it? I needed a definition so perfect that I will know it. I will know unconditionally and absolutely the essence of love, not just its effects, not just what it should do in me or should accomplish in society or in my life or in the life of those I love. It has to be a definition that is complete and perfect. Well, I think I'm going to go one farther. I'm not going to stop at defining love alone. I think I'm going to also simultaneously define hate. I'm going to define love and I'm going to define hate. And without this definition, it is impossible to understand those two words. Now, the definition. The definition is this. Christ on the cross. Christ crucified. That's the definition. If you want to know if you love, study it. Study Christ hanging on the cross. His feet are fixed. He will never run. His arms are perpetually open. He will never shun you or push you away. His heart is wide open so that nothing can be an obstacle to his love. But this is also the definition of hate. If you want to know if you're sinning, study the cross. Take Christ off the cross and what have you got? Nothing. You have either a glorified symbol or an implement of destruction. But you have no definition. There's no defining element to two cross beams. Until you put him on it, its meaning is very limited. But when you keep Christ on the cross, you have the perfect definition of love. If you want to know if you're ready for marriage, is this how you see your heart? Is this what your heart is willing to endure for the other? Then you're ready for marriage. Is this how your love defines itself? When we look upon Christ crucified, Christ hanging on the cross, everything becomes clear. Our lives, our duty, our obligations. Love becomes tangible. Love became flesh so that divine love could be defined. Remember, Christ taught us so much. And the apostles say, of all the world, could not contain the books that would have to be written to record all that Jesus said. He spoke one word, and all of this, everything you see around you, came into existence. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. God spoke one word, and the universe came into existence. And that one word comes to dwell among us, not only to teach us how to live, but to show us how to die, to show us how to love, to show us how to be the very love of Christ. And that's what we are called to. We are called to be this kind of love, this kind of perfection, this kind of Christian. That's why we won't take him off the cross. As the serpent was lifted on the standard in the desert, and it healed those bitten by the serpent, so those of us bitten by the snake of sin will be healed only when we look upon what sin did and what love did to conquer it. That's why we need Christ on the cross. That's why in every Catholic church you will see Christ hanging on the cross. Because without him, we have no definition, no perfect definition of love. So look upon Christ crucified. Look upon the true definition of love. Look at the true definition of what hate and sin has done to love, infinite love. and vow and promise with all your heart to live this love until that very love consumes you into eternity. May God bless you.